All right, if you could stand and turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 46. Luke chapter 1, verse 46. We continue to learn with the Master, and I commit myself to keep myself in the Gospels this whole year. And I hope that you really learn with the Master this year. And we have much to learn at the feet of Jesus, of course. And I tell you what, one thing I like about the Gospels is the simplicity of Jesus, the way he thought, and the simple things that he used to convey a big picture and a big story. But let's look at, this morning we're going to look at the Song of Mary, and look what it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 46. And the Bible says, "And Mary said, My soul thou magnify the Lord, and my spirit had rejoiced in God my Savior, for he had regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty had done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He had showed strength with his arm, and he had scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He had put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of a low degree. He had filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he had sent empty away. He had holden his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He had spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her for 3 months and returned to her own home." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for Mary. Definitely, Lord, she was a wonderful woman and a great vessel that you use for your honor and glory. And we, Lord, as we look at this passage this morning, may we remember that you are the reason for the season. You are the great reason for our great celebration. We celebrate Jesus this Christmas. I pray, Father, if there's someone here this morning never received Jesus as Savior, may they do that today. Or even those of you following us on social media, Lord, may they consider Jesus today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So this morning we're going to look at the Song of Mary. If you could please pray for me, and it's not part of my message, is like I began to use glasses more and more. I have my iPad right here, which I spread the words out, and still I'm having a problem looking because the words are kind of fuzzy looking at me, and I don't know what it is, so I have to go see a doctor on this and see really what it is. I have to put the glasses on actually to see the words good. So I constantly think of the glasses in and out. So don't. I hope that doesn't mess you up. So anyway, this morning we're going to look at one of the characters of Christmas on which it is the target of many controversies, religiously speaking. Her name is Mary. There was some who believed that Mary was the mother of God. If that was true, that raises several questions in our minds this morning, of course. If Mary is the mother of God, that makes Mary a God herself. If Mary is the mother of God, then Jesus came to existence when he was born of Mary. Well, those statements contradict the Bible. And this morning, we are going to deal with these issues. My question to you this morning is, do you believe that the Bible is the truth and is the true word of God? I believe that, right? If you do, let me tell you that according to the Bible, the statements that Mary is the mother of God has no foundation at all. And I'm going to explain this to you. We are all familiar with the accounts surrounding the birth of our Lord. And we see right here in this passage in the Songs of Mary on which she is invoked the Lord, my Savior. Obviously, if she says that, it's because she was a sinner just like me and you. All right, so in the months preceding Jesus' birth, Mary felt great anxiety as well as a matchless wonder in her heart. She was a virgin exposed to a man named Joseph, and yet she was with child. How can that be possible? The child within her womb was no ordinary child. It was the promised Messiah. As difficult and to us upon the in understanding, as difficult and uncertain in those days, where Mary rejoiced because of what the Lord had done in her life. These verses record her song of praise, known as a magnificent, of course, of a Latin translation. I don't speak Latin anyway. Of her words, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." I'll tell you what, that's when the Lord does something good in our lives, don't we praise His name? We do. We see little miracles, the little blessings in our lives, and we praise the Lord. We hear other Christians when something happened in their lives and they share with you, and the first words that come out of a Christian's mouth is, "Praise the Lord." You know, we rejoice with that Christian, "Praise the Lord." Well, Mary is doing the same thing here. She's praising her Savior for what we have done in her life. She has no clue, believe me, what's going to happen in the future. She has no clue. Mary, you know, she is in that situation right there. And believe me, things are going to happen in the future. I mean, there's many things that probably went on in Mary's life that we're not aware of, because it doesn't say in the Bible. But I believe probably the mockery that went on about him and her and Joseph that went on. I bet there was some of that mockery that went on and many other things. And then we see in the Bible, actually, when Jesus is adult, isn't just the son of Joseph, the carpenter. You see those type of statements as like making mockery of Jesus, of who he came from? Is he claiming to be the Messiah? But look what he came from. I mean, we see this today of people. People go step up to some ministry or sometimes to some status in life, and people go, "Isn't this the so-and-so, the son and of so-and-so? Isn't this person used to be like that?" People do that all the time. Folks, I tell you what, I got that done to me one time. When I was young, in my teenage years, and I'm not boasting here, I was very good playing soccer. Very good on playing soccer. I play in any position in the field. And one time I heard somebody say, "Isn't this so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, the one that's drunk all the time?" You're talking about putting your sword right through your heart and trespass and cut your heart. There's one thing that you want to say, "Listen, I am what I am, and my dad is what he is. But don't you call me the son of so-and-so, because everybody have faults." And you know what? And God is good. He got saved. He got cleaned up, and he died with dignity. And so God is a God of third and fourth and fifth chances. God is a God of mercy. But let me tell you, in the eyes of people many times, there's never mercy. It's always that. But I tell you what, as a teenage boy, that cut my heart and it cut really deep. I still remember to this day. That was hurtful. That, I mean, that people would see me as a son. I imagine when they said that to Jesus, how Jesus felt in his humanity. Isn't this the son? Because, you know, that type of life is a carpenter. He's just a poor guy, low in society, and he's claiming this to be this, and look who he is. You see, the focus of the text is praise to the coming king here. So Christmas is a special time to celebrate the birth of our Savior. If you listen, if you go to this Christmas season and you don't remember Jesus and celebrate his birth, I tell you what, you will miss out Christmas, because Christmas is about him. So the Christmas season is filled with songs that celebrate his coming, but none are more beautiful than Mary's song of praise right here. I pray that the Lord will speak to you as we consider the expressions of worship sang by Mary's song here. Let's look here there on your outline, if you follow the outline, Mary's character. Mary's character. Folks, as we look at the life of Mary, there's something that immediately jumped at us right here. Mary, listen to me, was a godly teenager here. We cannot deny that Mary was not a godly woman. She was. And all the virgins of Israel, God chooses her. Obviously, there was a purpose why God chose her. And was she a sinner? Absolutely. Did she wrong things? Absolutely. But let me tell you, Mary is a woman of godly character, and God chose her. She was a young woman who loved the Lord, who trusts the Lord, no doubt. Like I said, all the teenagers of Israel married was found favor in the eyes of God. Isn't God said the same thing with Noah? You know, the Lord looked at all the people of the earth and God saw Noah, a righteous man. I'll tell you what, God takes notice when we live righteous lives. He said, the world might look at us and say, you're old-fashioned, you're close-minded. Look what you do. Nobody lives like you. And you say, well, okay, all right, so I live for God. You know what? God takes count of you living as a righteous person. You say, well, that's hard to live a righteous life in this ungodly world. It is true. But let me tell you, so it wasn't in Mary's day as well, as much as it's not day. So letter A on that first point, Mary learned to trust God. We see this in from verse 37 to verse 38. The profile of Mary, we pick us up between the lines, tells us the whole story here. Mary had been raised in a poor, godly home where life was hard, but God was good. I mean, Mary didn't come from a rich home or a very poor home. When she heard she was to be the mother of the Messiah, she didn't know how it would turn out for her, either in her parents, in the present, or in the future. She simply heard the angel say, look at verse 37 of Luke chapter 1. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. I mean, is anything impossible with God? No, God is the God that does the impossible. Listen, let me tell you this. I'm sorry. Why do we pray? We pray because when we ask God for things, we ask for things not possible for us to do. We pray for the impossible. So-and-so is sick. And guess what? You can't do anything about it. Well, sometimes the doctor even comes to you and says, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do for you. And you know what? God is the God of the impossible. That's why we go to Him in our humanity. We are weak and frail, and we say, Lord, you can do the impossible. And the angel reminds Mary here, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary simply answered with total readiness right here of mind. Look at that in verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be unto me according to thy word. Look what it says. In a selfish world that we live in today, Mary said, according to thy word. You know what, folks? We should live in this world this way. Lord, is not my will, is not my word, is your will and your word, and I follow. Mary was ready to answer the Lord. Answered the Lord, and she said, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. I'm your servant, Lord. Whatever you want to do, I will do it. Literally, that's what she's saying here. I tell you what, if we have that readiness of mind, if we have that statement in our mouth and heart like Mary did, I tell you what, the Lord can use us, any one of us here, Lord can do things in us that we don't even imagine He can do. She had learned through the hard times that God was faithful, that she could trust Him as well. Difficult time, folks, we do need to trust God, especially in hard times of life. Listen, folks, when our walk is dark, when we see everything hitting us from every side, the only thing we have is our hope in the Lord. Because without hope, we're not going anywhere. We give up. But let me tell you, Mary had hope in the Lord, and she said, look, Lord, do it according to thy will. I tell you what. Listen, folks, life is not easy for anyone. Don't you realize that life is a problem after another problem after another problem? It comes all the time. And you might sit in your sofa enjoying the day and suddenly the problem arrived. It can arrive to your mind. It can knock on the door. It comes all the time. In Mary's day, it was the same way. But with hope in the Lord, we can move forward. Let it be. Mary's personal choice prepared her heart. Look at verse 27 in Luke chapter 1. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. See, verse 27 and verse 34 describe Mary as a virgin. She had to decide early on to maintain her moral purity. Folks, these days in our world that we live in, who is enough to even say, I will do that when I'm married? What a world we live in. She had decided early to maintain her purity. Don't get the idea that this was an easy thing in her day. She dealt with sexual temptation just like any girl does this these days, or any person. She was a sinner just like me and you. And let me tell you, just to think that Mary was not tempted, it is naive in our minds and silly in our minds. She was a human being. Listen, all of us have temptations here, don't we? There was a 95-year-old man in our church one time. 95-year-old. Frail, you know, he had a cane. And he was godly man, don't get me wrong. Godly man. Loved the Lord. He could quote scripture just like, I mean, he was. You could tell he was an ugly man. He loved the Lord. Been in church for many years. And the pastor said to him, Brother Kinstead, do you have temptation still at 95 years old? And he went like this. Oh, yes. Temptation comes to all of us because we are sinners. So did to Mary as well because she was a sinner as well. So, did I give you letter B there? I did give you letter B. So, even during her time when she was about to marry Joseph, she kept herself chaste and right. Actually, 2 Timothy says this, 2:20, it says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You know what it says right here? It describes Mary. Mary was a vessel of honor. She was a special person, and God used her for his glory. So purity places us in a position to be blessed of God. Mary had kept herself in obedience to God and for her husband to be. So when news of her pregnancy came, she knew that God was up to something special. She even said, I know no man. How could this be? Let us see. Mary knew that the true identity of the son she should bear it. Look what it says in verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. See what the message right here? The angel said, Mary, don't be afraid. You have found favor in the eyes of God. Isn't that a blessing? What great news. And behold, look what it says in verse 31. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. You see that there was no choice for Mary to name Jesus? The name was given. That's the name you got to give. Look what it says. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and over his kingdom there shall be no end. So Mary heard those titles, Jesus, Jehovah, salvation, the Son of the Most High, Messiah. Before anyone else on earth knew who Jesus was and why he came, Mary knew. There was something special about that baby. She knew. But she didn't know how it was going to turn out to be. But she knew that something special, God was about to do something special in her life, in the life of humanity. Listen, God that day when Jesus came to Bethlehem of Judea did something special for the entire human race. I know people reject, people laugh, people mock, but Jesus came to give salvation to the human race. Oh, praise the Lord for those of us who believe and still believe. We are almost ready to hear her solo, right here, her song. But first we go to the home of Zechariah and Elizabeth, to whom Mary is related. As soon as the angel departed, of course, is a time that Mary made her way to see Elizabeth. And look what it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 42. And it said, And she spake, and with a loud voice, and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And hence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord shall come to me. Even see, Elizabeth recognized that she was going to be the mother of the Messiah, the promised Messiah to Israel. Let me say, what a wonderful passage of Scripture. See, first Mary hears the angel's words. Then Elizabeth came, confirmation here. It was all she could contain. God was about to change the course of human history. The most important three decades in history and all of time are about to begin right here. So Mary starts to sing. The lyrics are recorded now in Luke chapter 1, verse 46, 55. So please hear the heart of Mary here. Begins to open her mouth and sing. Number two, Mary, undeserved grace. Of all people, we see Mary here acknowledging her on the serving grace right here. Pay careful attention to the simple words of this teenage girl, and you will be kept from error here regarding it to Mary. Notice her self-description, and she praises God. Letter A there, her acknowledgement. Mary calls God my Savior. In the opening line of her song, look what it says. And Mary said, my soul do magnify the Lord. Look at verse 47. And my spirit had rejoiced, look what it says, in God my Savior. Now, if Mary was a God and it was immaculate, means without sin, why she's going to say, God my Savior? Obviously, she needed a Savior as much as you and I. By calling God her Savior, she was acknowledging that she was a sinner. Only sinners need a Savior, right? Only sinners need a Savior. If people say, I'm not a sinner, you don't need a Savior. I remember years ago, a few years back, I went to the Providence Rescue Mission. I was preaching there, and there was a lady there. I was preaching in salvation messages. Woman came after the service was over. And of course, we used to sit down and eat with those people there. And of course, I missed my supper. And anyway, so I said to one of this lady tried to convince me that she was not a sinner. And you know what? And the whole time I point her to Scripture. You are a sinner. You are a sinner. But I don't kill. I don't rob. I don't do this. I don't. She goes on naming all this horrible sins. And I said, yeah, but you are a liar. And she said, I never lied. I said, well, that's an uplink lie. I tell you what, a half an hour later, she bowed her head and she said, you're right. I am a sinner. You know what she did? She called upon Jesus to save her. But I tell you, I was persistent. It took me almost a half an hour. I was persistent. Yes, you are a sinner. Every human being on the face of this earth are sinners. I don't care how much money they have. I don't care what status in life they have, how good they think they are. We are sinners. And at the foot of the cross, we're at the same level. We need a Savior. And Mary put herself in the same place, saying that, God, my Savior. Mary, in her song, acknowledged her Savior. Number one, she sings of God looking on a humble conditions of his slave in. So look what it says, Luke 48. For he had regarded the lowest state of his handmaids. For behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. Literally, she sees her littleness, so to speak, both in the world's eyes. In God's eyes, her words tell us that Mary felt totally unworthy to be chosen of God. Because she was just another poor girl among the thousands in Israel. She said, "I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of receiving this. I'm not worthy of being your servant, Lord." See that humility. And Lord, let me tell you, I think the Lord can use us in a tremendous way when we are that humble. And there you, and our hearts are full of humility. And Mary, so she saw her condition. She said, Lord, how can I be the mother of the Messiah when I'm not even worthy? Obviously, God saw something in Mary. I have discovered that there are always a single question that arises in the heart of a person who understands how much grace it takes for God to choose them. We say, why me, O Lord? I know my own sin and my own frailty in my heart and how imperfect I am. How can you, Lord, pick me? I tell you, folks, I struggled immensely when I felt the call of the Lord to be a pastor. I said, Lord, why me? I even excused myself. I said, listen, Lord, I don't speak English that good. I have an accent. And the Lord just used me and continued to use me, and I praise his name for it. And when I think about it, it humbles my heart. I'm not standing up here proudly and boasting. It's a humble place to be. It's a humble place to be. Listen, humility and lowliness of heart are the binding marks of someone who has stood in the presence of God long enough to realize that they deserve hell for their sin, but instead they received mercy. Number two, she sees God's action towards her as evidence of his mercy. Look at verse 50. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. She sings that his mercy is from generation to generation. And let me tell you how truthful are those words. God's mercy continues on. Isn't God merciful? God is mercy to every sinner. I tell you why, it goes to those who think that only some people get saved and some go to hell. No. Our God is a God of mercy to whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord. Mary, in poetry here, it reveals that her heart in which she is. In the first stanza, we see something wonderful and true about God. He loves the underdog, the disqualified, and then he impresses by this world. Mary stands before the Lord just like we do, needy, flawed, with nothing to merit at his favor, knowing to know that we need what we deserve is judgment from God. But God in his mercy says to you and me, I can use you. Number three, she is amazed at God who knows her so well and chooses her anyway. So am I. I can't understand why God is using me, to be honest with you. Here's a gift you won't find on the tree this season. It's the gift of grace in Jesus, who has mercy enough to save us. But buckle your seat here. The second verse is coming here. I tell you what, I say many times, even in my prayers, Lord, how can you use a sinner like me? I think all of us already came to that and said that. Lord, how can you use me? I'm not worthy of being used of you. Look, I fail you all the time. And Lord, I'm not proud for that. How can you use me? I think Mary felt the same way. And Mary said, my Lord, I tell you what, if we understand who we are as sinners, we understand the grace of God. God is merciful. God is faithful. And let me tell you, what a great God that we serve. The second verse is coming here. There is where Mary turns her attention to this world system and interprets the meaning of Christ coming to this earth. Look at point number three, Mary's recognition of God's rescuing power. From verse 51 to verse 55, Mary sings of a radically and reversals from what our world values, shift everything we try to establish so that it magnifies God's justice for his people. Three groups of people will be impacted here. All right, now letter A, he will rescue the helpless. Look what it says in verse 51. He had showed strength with his arm. He had scattered the proud in imagination and the imagination of their hearts. Now, Mary is just a young girl here. She's not a political analyst here. She is standing in the living room of an old relative in the hill country of Judea, singing a song. But she saw it coming. Her boy child will end up at the center of power of men who think is very powerful. Everything in our world is about Jesus. I don't care how much people reject him. Any little thing happened in Israel, guess what happened? Everybody's focusing there. Why? Because it is a promise to be fulfilled. Jesus is coming again, and the world knows. Saved and unsaved, they know it's going to happen. Is that much they deny and laugh and mock? He will rescue the helpless. I love the opening line of verse 50, when he had show strength with his arm. God, get this, when I think of how many overpaid sports figures out there, how many naughty business executives and how many self-consumed celebrities and how many prideful political leaders we have in our world and self-conceit people try to wrestle with God and doing so, walk over people. I think of this verse. Listen, if you are caught up in this world's value, you're missing out the meaning of Christmas and the meaning of what God did for humanity. Listen, people look up to people. They want to be just like so-and-so. They even dress like, make their hair look like, even change everything about so they can look like so-and-so. I tell you what, I look to Jesus, the author and finish of our faith. You can do no wrong by looking to him. Many people got caught in this world value and the things of this world. And then listen, folks, it happened to Christians as well. They think they're missing out and they're just going the ways of the world. I see many people done that. Listen, if you're caught up in this world's value, you will, if you are flash out of that's your opinion this morning, if you feel that you are you've been missing out in life, you're making a big mistake. I tell you what, I was in the world until my 30s. I know it's in the world. And people cannot teach me anything about the world because I live there. But I cross the bridge, put Jesus as my Savior, and I look back there and I say, I don't want to go there. Don't follow after actors and make fame or wealth your greatest goal in life. Don't despair over which party wins and the most seats in Congress. Don't lose sleep over unfair your boss may treat you. Don't think that no one has as bad as you have. Don't think that no one can help you. God can help you. Folks, I know that we look at the song of Mary we look at this song as a Christmas song, but this song goes further than this. This song comes from the lips of a Jewish young girl born a sinner who some claim that she was at an immaculate conception. You know what immaculate conception is? It's born without sin. I'll tell you what, there's no human being born without sin. Look at little kids and look how naughty they are. So they're a bundle of joy, but look at them. They even look at you, see if you're watching what they're doing. And they look at you, and don't touch them. Even my little granddaughter, Petra, you know, all the difficulties, she is a little naughty sometimes. You know, all kids do that. Listen, we are born sinners. We have a sinful nature inside of us. And Mary was the same. This immaculate conception, like some denominations teach, that is wrong, that's unbiblical. Do you feel discouraged, beaten down, lonely this morning? Let the song of Mary comfort you. Bring your case to the Lord because he is our helper in times of need. Let it be, he will exalt the humble. Look what it says in verse 52. He had put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. I remember when I think about this verse, I think about Nebuchadnezzar. In Nebuchadnezzar, proud for an arrogant. And he looked at what he had. He said, look what I got. And God humbled him. Actually, the Bible says in Daniel chapter 4, verse 37, know I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of heaven when he came to his sense. All those works are true and his ways and his ways judgment and those who walk in pride, he is able to abase. You see, in his proudfulness, when God dealt with him, he recognized that he needed to humble himself. Folks, I tell you what, there's a lot of people in our world that live like this. Their nose is too big, so they keep it up like that, so they don't touch the ground because they're too prideful. And I tell you what, God is not happy with that. God says you are to humble yourself. How many times has the Lord disposed the Herods and the Hitlers and the Usains of this world? He breaks their bows. He stops their projects. He brings them low. And the meek went up inheriting the earth. The Mary song means we need to reverse our ambitions if we want to succeed in God's world. Don't buy the hype this world system dishes out that says if you are going to get anywhere in life, you got to be aggressive. You got to stand on people's heads and think about yourself only. That's not the way life should be. There is a higher law at work that the law in life shall be exalted. Jesus gives us this thing this way in Luke chapter 14, verse 11. For whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. So seek humility, not glory. Labor for the Lord, not yourself. Stop caring who gets the credit. Give without expecting anything in return. Take the back seats if you have to. Stop complaining and trust the Lord. Stop bickering and humble yourself before the Lord. Do all things in a quiet spirit. And I tell you what, the Lord will reward you. The Lord will. Let us see. He will fill the hungry. Look what says verse 53. He had filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he had sent empty. You might say, well, that contradicts our world today. The rich is getting rich. Isn't that what we're saying? And the poor is getting poor. So God is looking for reliable people who are hungry for him. You see that? See that? Much different. See, we look from the worldly perspective. We say the rich is getting richer and the poor is getting poor. But God is looking for those people who are hungry for him. My question to you this morning, are you hungry for God? God is looking for people of a humble and contrite heart whose primary goal is to serve him. I tell you and I tell you again, there wasn't one time in my life and in my wife's life, we came to the altar in old church many years ago, which doesn't even exist today. We went before the altar. But I remember that promise, said, Lord, as long as I live, I will serve you. It might not be as a pastor. It might be just a church attendance, whatever it is. But my heart is with God. I give my kids, my wife, my family, my life. Say, Lord, it's all yours. You take it. And that's what we need to do. There's different faces in life. The Lord might sit me down and put me in the pew. My Lord might, I don't know, because I don't know tomorrow. But let me tell you, my heart is fixed on the Lord. Even if I be the only Christian on the face of the earth, I will be the only one. I don't believe that I'll be the only one. You understand what I'm saying here? You see, sad to say, we live in a day and age where people's primary goal is themselves. The only thing that they think is themselves, nobody else. Do you want to know why there's so much selfishness in our world? Do you want to know why people can't get along? They have too much selfishness in their hearts. God is not looking for selfish, self-worship people. He's looking for humble, contrite heart people. Listen, selfishness is everywhere. Isn't our world promotes like this? You deserve it. Go enjoy yourself because you deserve it. You know how many people even that I work with, when it comes to Friday, it goes, they're making all these plans because they look at, I work all week. I deserve it. And some of them can't even pay their bills, but they deserve it. So they're going, have a good time. We live in a very selfish world. Life is about them, no one else. You wonder why they can't fit, they don't see themselves walk in the walls of a church? Because they're not capable, they're not willing to humble themselves and to listen God's word and say, I need this, I need to change. Because life is all about them. And I tell you what, why did the Lord use Mary? Because Mary had a humble heart. What does Jesus say about this? Look what it says in Matthew 5:6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. The church of Jesus Christ is for people who feel their own emptiness. The church is made up of people like those who gathered to King David when he was on the run from Saul. It says, and look, it says in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2, it says, and everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was death, and everyone that was discontent, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 4,000 men. You see, the church should be a place where we want to go because we empty, and we want to go there to be encouraged, to be renewed, to have a new hope in this world that we live in. Let me tell you, folks, there are a lot of people in our world, they have no hope at all. They live hopeless lives. And let me tell you, that should not be the life of a Christian. A life of a Christian is a life of hope and joy in the Lord. Let me tell you, don't let people rob the joy of the Lord that is in your heart. Stick with the Lord. Have the joy of the Lord in you. Listen, do you ever sing a song and the tears are coming down your eyes? I have. You know, because the Lord put that song in your heart and you sing it out, but at the moment, circumstances are not the greatest ones. But you know what? Don't let nobody rob the joy of the Lord from your heart. He loves the forgotten ones. He loves you. He knows exactly where you are. He knew exactly where Mary was. Let me tell you, God shows his mercy to those who don't deserve it. And blessed is the person that recognizes God's mercy. He is a merciful God. And Mary sings this song and she says, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to use me. Imagine that. That's a humble, contrite heart right there. You ever been in that situation when you ask to do something or the Lord put something in your heart and you just get on your knees and you pray and say, Lord, why me? I don't deserve this. Or even the blessings of the Lord, and you feel, you see the blessings come into your life and you say, Lord, why so many blessings? I don't deserve this. Don't you express this sometimes when somebody gives you a gift? You go, I don't deserve this. Oh, I don't deserve this gift. The Lord is the same way. All the blessings keep flowing in, and we say, Lord, I'm not worthy. You know what? But God sees something that we don't see. He looks deep inside of our hearts, and he knows the condition of our hearts. Even in the midst of tears, and in the midst of when we fall many times, God sees that we still have love for him. He knows how weak we are. He knows we can fail. He knows we can fall down many times. You know what? He's there. Did you believe that Mary failed many times? I believe so. You know why? Because I know she was a sinner. Number four, Mary's song of gratitude. Mary's situation was not the greatest one, but she teaches this morning a great lesson to every believer. Regardless of her situation, she prevailed God for, she's praising God for what he was doing in her life. Was she afraid? Probably was. Was she concerned about her situation when it got to be public? Probably was. She knew. Did she knew that all things were how things were going to turn out? Probably not. But imagine in her heart, when things begin to settle down, and said, "When did this thing become public? And I know no man. What can be done to me?" According to the law, she could have lost her life. But you know what? She chose to move forward, trusting God. I'll tell you what. How many times, I don't know if it happened in your life, how many times we don't know where we're heading? Everything looks, Lord, should I go to the left? Should I go to the right? Should I go straight? Lord, what do you want me to do? And you know what? We just trust the Lord. And you know what? It's always good when we trust the Lord. You know what? Because he guides us because he wants the best for us. And I tell you what, I don't think the Lord promised that to Mary and told Mary, now you do the best you can do. It's not what it does. When the baby was born, and it was that they were the Herod looking for to kill the baby, what the Lord did? Protect Jesus, protect the family. Send him to Egypt. Obviously, the Lord was behind the scenes. So, letter A, the song of redemption. Look what it says in verse 46 and 47. And Mary said, my soul thou magnify the Lord, and my spirit had rejoiced in God my Savior. You see the joy of Mary here? It says, my soul is full of joy. I'll magnify your name. And it says, and my spirit had rejoiced in God my Savior. I'll tell you what, I hope that you never lose that zeal, that gratitude of your salvation. I hope you never do. I don't care how long you've been saved. I hope you always remember the day that you received Jesus as your Savior, and what you have done, and the joy that came into your heart, the hope that you didn't have. Mary began her song with praise for her salvation. She has called of God to deliver she was called of God to deliver the Lord into the world, but she was also in need of a Savior as herself as well. Mary was born in sin and need and needed a Savior as well, like all of us. Let me tell you, folks, every born again believer has a reason to rejoice. We might not have much. We might not have nothing. We might be in need, but I tell you what, we rejoice in the Lord. I remember years ago, several years, maybe two or three years back, I was preaching Providence Rescue Mission, and of course, many people, I like 14, 15 people, there were maybe more, received Jesus. I said, they were saying out loud. They were praying out loud, giving their life to Jesus. And I walk out with my wife. We were getting in the car, and this young lady, she was probably 8, 9 months pregnant. She came out, and tears would come down her eyes. And she said to me, I said, Pastor, I want to talk to you. I was not a pastor at the time. I was just going there as a ministry. So she comes to me, and she said, I want you to know something. Even through her tears, there was a smile. And she said, I pray that prayer, and I receive Jesus as my Savior. And I said, praise the Lord. And she began to cry even more, and she said, I want you to know I'm homeless. My mom and dad kicked me out because I got pregnant. I made a mistake. She has. I made a mistake. I have nowhere to go. But I'm praising the Lord for the people here that accommodate me. Tears keeping down, but I said, she goes, I am so glad that I received Jesus as my Savior. Listen, that was the first time I saw that girl. That was the last time I saw that. She passed by me. I don't even recognize her. But it was several years back. But I tell you what a blessing to see the joy of salvation in somebody's eyes, in somebody's expression. And I'll tell you what, I hope you never lose that. Let it be a song of reflection. Look at verse 48. For he had regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth, all generation call me blessed. She is contemplating that her situation, who she is, married, was a sinner. And she saw her situation and she magnifies the Lord to think of her, to use her. Isn't that wonderful when God uses us? Isn't that wonderful when God looks at us, a sinner like me, and say, I'm going to use you for this? I'll tell you what. So you get a track and you go give to somebody, and you sometimes, you know, they take it, sometimes they might reject it, but sometimes they say thank you, and sometimes you have an opportunity to lead them to the Lord. Don't you know that God is using you? Don't take that for granted. God is using you as an instrument. I'll give you a story. And he's not here today, but I guess he might watching us, but it blessed my heart. Robbie. It was a young man that he was at a memorial service. And in the memorial service, he heard something I said that stuck with him. It made him think. I mean, as far as I know, from what I heard, he was suicidal. But Robbie and Jennifer took with them. And as far as I know, Robbie gave him his Bible. And of course, he no longer lives because he died in a car accident. But as far as I know, the kid got saved. You know what? God put him at the right time, in the right moment, and use him to be a testimony to somebody. Don't take that for granted. When God do that in our lives, he's using us. We should rejoice in that. Let us see, we see a song of rejoicing. What he says, for he that is mighty had done to me great things, holy, and holy is his name. These very difficult days, I'm sure, they are very difficult days. I'm sure that there are those who whisper about her condition here, the way she was. She likely was treated harshly, probably, but she knew that God had done a miraculous thing in her life. Can you imagine? Of course, we know how when ladies are pregnant, you know, it begins to show. Can you imagine Mary in that condition and the people in the town, what they said? When Mary walked by, the whisperings, the talking. Can you just imagine what was going on over there? But she continued to rejoice in the Lord. I tell you, folks, I conclude with this. Life is not easy. Life many times is not fair. Life throws us curveballs we don't expect many times. But I tell you what, here's one thing we need to do in the midst of all this. Keep trusting the Lord. That's what we need to do. We need to keep on trusting the Lord. I tell you what, if we open our mouths and be sincere with ourselves, all of us have doubts, all of us have problems, and sometimes we think we're the only ones that have problems. I have a Christian one time that told me that. He said, I was with my wife, and she said, so it was many years ago, I was at First Baptist many years ago, and she said, you guys always walking around with a smile, you guys have no problems. And my wife and I, we look at each other and go, honey, we don't have any problems. That is a good statement. All of us have problems. We have two little kids at the time. We had no problems. Oh my God. If they only knew, she only knew that my wife had Sundays, Mondays, and I had off from work, and I had Saturday and Sunday. We saw each other once a week. That was a problem. And I was mom and dad at the same time, so was my wife, because we never together. I mean, we had our issues. We had our problems, what they said. But people think sometimes they're the only ones who have problems. That's not true. Mary had her problems, and many problems the Bible doesn't even tell us, but we too have our problems. So Christmas is a celebration of our Savior's birth and the hope that he brings to those who find him. That's what Christmas is about. He is the reason for the season. And let me tell you, this Christmas, I mention this every year, let's celebrate Jesus. It is good to have families together? Absolutely. It is good to be with friends together? Absolutely. But more than anything, let's celebrate Jesus. He is the reason for the season. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your blessings, for your goodness, for the blessing of the Song of Mary, for her, Lord. What a testimony of trusting you, of a woman with a humble heart. Indeed, she was a very special girl. And thank you, Lord, that you still use people, even in our days, people who are humble, people who love you. Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Are we going to sing a song of invitation this morning?